Sure you got his name right.
Yes.
It's been impressive.
So we have a summary of what we discussed in the context of the Magen Avraham here, and he says the following, that according to Magen Avraham, you're allowed to take a kli shemalachto leheter and place it on top of the mess. That was his expansion of the Ramban that we discussed in the last year at great length. And this is considered litzorech hayom. Why? Because we look at the immediate purpose and not the long-term purpose, the ultimate purpose. His immediate purpose is to benefit by putting this kli on top of the mess so that he could move the mess. And even though from the perspective of moving the mess, it would be very difficult to say that that's called litzorech gufo, because he's not using the mess in any way as a kli, for a shimush. But nevertheless, since he has a purpose in moving this kli, and that's his immediate purpose, he calls it tachlit hakrova, if you recall, that's enough, according to Magen Avraham, to be mati. And we said that according to Rabbi Kiveger, if you give a gift on Yontif and it's misameach the person, that's considered litzor chayom, and therefore you're allowed to take even something which would be a klishem latol iser and give it as a gift on Yontif. We discussed also the tshuva of the Rashbash about the son, the father who's bringing his son to the Beit HaKnesset, and he brings a candle along as a nedava. And again, even though the ultimate... The Rashbash. Yeah. And the Rashbash was of the opinion that this is problematic, and we said the reason for that is that it's hard to consider it litzor gufo shel kli, because the gufo shel kli is used to light the candelabra, and that you can't do on Shabbos. You might say, but he has an immediate need to bring this nedava and offer it as a contribution to the synagogue. But the problem with that is that the synagogue is not excited about receiving this candle. And if the candle, for example, would fall and break, it would be meaningless. The purpose of a nedava is so that the synagogue would benefit from it. And here the benefit would be that they light the candle. So that's not Shaykh on Shabbos. But in the case of the Rebbe Kiveger, if you recall, that he wants to give a gift of Pamutim Shel Kesef, and based on a tosis that allows you to bring a gift on Yontif because of the Simchas Yontif, he, Rebbe Kiveger, wants to extend this to the case of a Chosim Kala, that you give him a gift and that's Mesameach the Chosim Kala. Oh, so now where are we up to? We have one very important question to answer, and then a more general question to answer. So, Sacha called two questions. The first question we want to answer is with regard to Abaye on Kuf Mem Beis. You remember the story of Abaye, that he wanted to move Muktzah, so he places some sort of a kli on top of the Muktzah. And if you... That is a problem. I'll tell you why. I can understand the sheet of Rabba in the sugya on Daf Mem Gimel with regard to moving a kar, some sort of a bowl, in order to receive the egg, even though the egg is nolda bazer, and therefore it is mukta, but nevertheless he's using the gufo shel kli. Well, for example, in Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach's case, what he was doing was he took the kli shem latalis and he used it as a cover, and that is begufo shel kli. That's shimush begufo shel kli. However, in the case of Abaye, what's he doing with this kli? He's just simply putting it on top of muktzah. He's not using the gufo shel kli. And even though we had an expanded definition of litzorech hayom, but that was only in Rava's frame of reference, because Rava held that, for example, in the case of a kli shemalakta leheter, you're allowed to move it for any purpose, even michamal itzel. So that gave us a broader definition of litzorech. We weren't limited to litzorech shimush hakli begufa shel kli, because quite clearly, when I move the kli from the sun into the house, I'm not using the kli. But nevertheless, Rava has that all-encompassing heter of litzorech in the case of kli shemalakta leheter. However, once we get to Rava, and for that matter Abaye, who limit kli shemalakta leheter only tzar gufo tzar makomo, it means you need some sort of shimush begufo shel kli, chamal itzel is asur, then certainly putting the kli on top of the mess is not a shimush begufo shel kli. And therefore, we don't understand how Abaye and Kuf Mem Beis could allow placing a kli on top of Muktzah. That's the real question that we have to face. The second question we want to address is, what is the machlokus here between Rabbah and Abaye on one side and Rav on the other? If you recall, the Mishnah says, Kol HaKelim Nitolim Bein Litzorech Bein Shelo Litzorech. Rav is of the opinion that Litzorech includes not only Litzorech Gufo, but also Litzorech Makoma. And Shelo Litzorech therefore includes Michama Litzel. Rav, on the other hand, and for that matter Abaye, understands that when we talk about Litzorech, we mean Litzorech Gufo, but not Litzorech Makoma.
Harvey's coming, too.
And then we have a shalol litzarch, which is litzarch makomo. And what we leave out of the equation is michama litzel. So it comes out that according to Abaye and Rava, there's one thing called litzarch gufo, and there's a whole other thing called litzarch makomo. We need a special heter for litzarch makomo. According to Rav, on the other hand, litzorech gufo and litzorech makomo are all included in the original heter of litzorech. So he says the following. This you'll see on page 266 in the paragraph that starts Ode. He says, Lefi Rabba mutter. According to Rabba, you're allowed to move a kli shemalak leheter, even litzorech makomo, but that was a special heter of litzorech makomo. And that's basically called Shalol Litzorech in the language of the Mishnah. Rava holds that included in Litzorech is Litzorech Makomo. Now, this doesn't make any sense really, because Makomo, is it Litzorech, is it not Litzorech? There seems to be a fundamental machlokas about this between Rava and Rava. But if you take a look at the language of Rava, Rava says, Ma Litzorech Gufo, Ma Litzorech Makomo, which sounds like he's saying that it's all one, and yet Rabba requires two different heterim, one for Litzorech Gufo and one for Litzorech Makom. So at this point, we're going to talk a little bit about Litzorech Makomo. And we're going to look at the paragraph that starts Venira Levayer. And here he says that Rava wanted to explain that the Mishnah of Bein Litzorech, Bein Shelo Litzorech was authored by Rab Nechemiah. And this is going to create a tremendous problem for Rashi, because according to Rava, Bein Litzorech, Bein Shelo Litzorech includes Litzorech Makomo, and Rabbi Nechemiah was the one who requires Tashmish HaMiyuchad Lo. You can't say Litzorech Makomo is Tashmish HaMiyuchad Lo. It's not even a Tashmish at all. And for that matter, even according to Rabbeinu Tam, if you recall, says that it doesn't have to be Tashmish HaMiyuchad Lo, but it has to be Tashmish HaRogil B'Yemos HaChol. But clearly nobody denies that according to Rabbeinu Nechemiah, we need some sort of Tashmish B'Gufo Shel Kli. And here he's just removing the Kli from the table. He's not using the Kli at all. So he quotes Tosfos on Daf Lamed Vav, on the bottom paragraph on the right side, who asks this kash on Rashi. You may remember it was the name of Rabbi Shimon, who asked that question. How is Rabbi Nechemiah matir litzarech makoma? And Rabbi Nutam offers a little bit of a difficult answer, a little bit of a, we call it a kvetch teretz, and that is that since we allow him to use the kli, according to Rabbi Nechemiah, for its primary function. So for example, if I have a bowl, I'm going to allow him to use the bowl on the table in order to eat his food. Now what's going to happen? He's going to have to leave the bowl there on the table? And the answer is that this removal of the bowl off the table when he finishes using the bowl is part and parcel of the shimush of the kli. It's a package deal. I let you use the kli, and then I let you remove it afterwards. That's the shita of Rabbeinu Tam. Others want to say that maybe you can remove the kara after you finish eating because of a din of graf shel rei, a separate din because it's repulsive. Okay. However, and now you're on the top left column, Ach Rabba v'Abaye Savri, why do they disagree with this whole concept that Litzorech Makomo is considered a tiltul shelo litzorech, even though he needs this tiltul during the day, but it's not shimush begufo shel kli? And that's where Rabba and Abaye maintain that it's not enough to be matir litzorech gufo. You need a special heter on litzorech makomo. They never accepted this view that removing the kli after you finish eating from it is considered part of the shimush begufo shel kli. And therefore, from their perspective, it's not included in litzorech gufo. And I need another heter of litzorech makomo. So it turns out like this, that Rava, when he defines litzorech, he includes both, as we said many times, gufo and makomo. Rava says that litzorech, in the case of gufo, is understandable, but in the case of makomo, that's called shelo litzorech. Yes, because again, keep in mind, and please don't forget this, that according to Rava, we need a special heter beyond gufo for makomo, which means that gufo and makomo come under two categories. And the reason for that, the logic of Rava, is because makomo is not called shimush begufo shel kli, and therefore makomo should never be equated with gufo. It was Rava who came up with this chiddush that within the context of being matir litzor gufo, they had to be matir litzor makomo, because you can't leave the bowl on the table at the end. That's also part of the shimush of the kli. And he says the following. There's a fundamental difference in the understanding of a kli shemalachta leheter and a kli shemalachta leisur between Abaye v'Rava on one side of the equation and Rava on the other side of the equation. Kli shemalachta leheter, according to Abaye v'Rava, has the same status as a kli shemalachta leisur lididan. Lididan means for us, we pass like Rava. Because if you remember that according to Rava, a kli shemalachta leisur is mutar litzorech gufo litzorech makomo. And that's exactly the halacha according to Abaye v'Rava, Abaye v'Rava, I should say, in the case of a kli shemalachta leheter. But the truth is, he says, it's not really the same. Why? Because according to Rava, once you're matir a litzor gufo, you're automatically being matir litzor makomo. Why? Because litzor makomo, as Rabbeinu Tam explained, is included in litzor gufo. Masha Enkein, on the other hand, according to Abaye v'Rava, there were two different heterim. There's one heter litzor gufo, which is the shimush for gufo shel kli, and then there's an entirely different heter, which is called litzor chayom, because you need it during the day. So now he gives you a summary in the paragraph that starts Ukli, which is the next to last paragraph on your page. The summary is as follows. That Kli Shemalachta Leheter, they were matirit even Shalolit Tzarech Shimush Begufo Shel Kli. And Rava says, they were matirit Shalolit Tzarech in the case of Chama Litzel. That's all according to Rava. But according to Rav and Abaye, the Litzorech Makomo was a special heter that they added to Litzorech Gufo in the case of what? A Kli Shemalachta Leheter. And therefore comes out according to Rav and Abaye that when they were matir til to Litzorech Makomo, that was considered a Shalol Litzorech Shimush Begufo Shel Kli. But simply this broader category called Litzorech Hayom. According to Rava, when they were matir a kli shemalachta leisur, they were matir both litzor gufo litzor makomo, and that according to Rava is considered shimush begufo shel kli. So the machlokes between Rava on the one hand and Rava on the other hand revolves around one important question, and that whether the Litzorech Makomo is considered Shimush Begufo Shel Kli. Rav is willing to expand Shimush Begufo Shel Kli to the literal restricted definition that I'm using the Kli, because when I finish using the Kli, I have to get rid of the Kli, and that's also considered Shimush Begufo Shel Kli. And then Rava says there was another heter which is called Litzarach Hayom, and that was the separate heter that they added in the case of Kli Shemlata Leheter Michamel Itzel. Rava on the other hand holds that Litzarach Gufo Shel Kli, that's only Litzarach Makom, Litzarach Gufo. Litzarach Makom is not Shimush BeGufo Shel Kli, and you need a special heter for that. And in the case of Kli Shemalachta Leheter, they gave that special heter, and therefore it becomes Mutal Litzarach Makomo. But on the other hand, anything else other than Litzarach Makomo was not included in the heter, and there was never a heter for Chamal Itzel. And now we're up to the final paragraph. He says, therefore, according to Rava, in the case of Kli Shemalachta Leisur, you're allowed to use the Kli for Shimush Begufo Shel Kli, which according to Rav includes both Litzarach Gufo and Litzarach Makomo. According to Rav and Abaye, in the case of the heter of Kli Shemlata Leheter, there was a special heter of Litzarach Makomo, even though it's not Begufo, not Shimush Begufo Shel Kli, it's Litzarach Hayom. Now let's go back to our question on the Magen Avraham. The Magen Avraham was Mater Kli Shemalachta Leheter Litzarech Tiltul Hames. He said that you're allowed to take a Kli Shemalachta Leheter and place it on top of the mess, but he says that if it's a Kli Shemalachta Leheter, it's awesome. And why is that so? The answer is the following. If he's putting a Kli Shemalachta Leheter on a mess, that's called Litzarech Hayom. That's not called Litzarech Gufo or Tashmishu Shel Kli. He's not using the Kli. That's okay in a Kli Shemalachta Leheter. But in a case of a Kli Shemalachta Leisa, the only heter was Litzarech Shimush Begufo Shel Kli, which included, according to Rava, Litzarech Gufo, Litzarech Makomo, but certainly does not include placing it on top of the mess. Why? Because when he places it on top of the mess, no way, no how is he using the Gufo Shel Kli. But again, in the case of Kli Shemalachta Leisur, there Rav is only going to allow it when it's Shimush Begufo Shel Kli, and therefore the Magen Avraham insists that a Kli Shemalachta Leisur, you cannot put it on top of the mess. But in the case of a Kli Shemalachta Leheter, where they allowed you to move it, not just Litzarech Tashmisho Begufo Shel Kli, but even Litzarech Hayom, that's what the Magen Avraham allows you to put it on top of the mess. Now we ask the question. Let's go over our question. And perhaps now we can answer that question. Abaye went ahead and he moved a Kli Shemalachta Leheter and put it on top of Muktzah. How is he allowed to do that? In the case of a Kli Shemalachta Leheter, according to Abaye Lishitoso, it has the same status as our Psak of Rava and a Kli Shemalachta Leiser. And therefore, if he's not using the Gufo Shel Kli, How are we allowed, how does Abaye go ahead and allow himself to put this Kli on top of Muktzah? Yeshlomar sha'omnam bedin shavim heimach ledaito itiru shimush shalo begufo ulekach hitir letaltel tarvon letzorech tiltul ha-muktzah mishum shatachas ha-krovehi letzorech Shabbos. So what does it mean? According to Abaye, you're allowed to move a Kli Shemalachta Leheter. For what? Litzarech Gufo and Litzarech Makomo. But there's a fundamental difference between the two. Litzarech Gufo is called Shimush Begufo Shel Kli. Now they added a new heter called Litzarech Hayom to be Mater Litzarech Makomo. Therefore, Abai is allowing himself to take this Kli and put it on top of Muktzah, even though he's not using the Kli in any way, but it's no different than Litzarech Makomo. Because what was the whole yisod in the second heter of Litzarech Makomo? That all you need is this broader heter of Litzarech Hayom, and therefore I have a tzarech today if I want to move the Muktzah, and if I can put the Kli on top of the Muktzah. On the other hand, a kli shemalachto le'iser, even le'didan, you would not be allowed to put on top of muktzah or on top of a mess, a kli shemalachto le'iser. And the reason for that is because Rava holds that litzarech makoho is included in litzarech gufo. It's litzarech tashmisho shalakli, and there never was a heter in kli shemalachto le'iser litzarech hayom. There only was a heter of litzarech gufo shalakli. So let's just try to summarize this on the blackboard, if that helps anybody. And if it doesn't help you, please tell me, because I would rather not waste my time. This is the one that I find right now, and I hope it'll work for me. If anybody sees the other one, let me know. But you know, things have a tendency of growing wings and flying away. Okay. So our subject was what?
Sorry.
Let's start. And this breaks down into two. There's Aleph, which is called Litzarech Shimush Begufo Shel Kli. Okay? And then there's a second category called Litzarech Hayom. This category is much more expansive because it includes even a situation where I'm not using the Kli at all, I just have a need for the Kli. Okay. Tell me when I can erase this. Because I want to write some more stuff on the blackboard. Okay. Now, let's talk about... Yeah, I can erase it?
Good.
You need a bigger blackboard.
Yeah, okay, we'll manage. It's just that I write very large. That's my problem. Okay. Now I'm going to talk about Rava. Okay, and then we'll talk about Rava and Abaye. According to Rava, now you have to get my abbreviations here because I can't write it all out. Right? So number one, we're going to talk about a kli shemalachto leheter. Okay? And a kli shemalachto leheter, according to Rava, the litzorech, okay, which means in the previous blackboard, we wrote the aleph, which was tzorech shimush begufo shel kli, includes Gufo and Makomo. Okay? Then we have Michal Litzel. What's that? Okay, that's called Shalol Litzorech. What does it mean, Shalol Litzorech? It's Shalol Litzorech Tashmish Begufo Shel Kli, but now it fits into another category, and that's called what?
Tzorech Hayom.
Litzorech Hayom. Excellent.
But what's the source of Tzorech Hayom? Like the...
That's Chamal itself, because again, if you remember Nehemiah ben Chachalia had this all-inclusive gzera, and then step by step, they had heterim. So the first step of a heter, according to Rava, in the case of a kli shemalachto leheter, was tashmish begufo shel kli. And Rava's opinion is that tashmish begufo shel kli includes two things, litzarech gufo and litzarech makom. Now there was a second stage of a heter, because as they saw that people were more meticulous in their observance of Shabbos, they gave them a little bit more leeway. And they said, you know what? We're going to allow you to move a kli shemalachto leheter as long as you have a tzorech. And that tzorech is any purpose that you can achieve right now, and I'm not even going to look down the line what the ultimate purpose is. That's irrelevant. Okay, David, you want to just slam that door for me? If you don't mind.
Did Rav not include the tzorek of the kli itself? You know, so that was self-definitional for the kli.
Correct. If you're using the kli itself as a cover or whatever you're using it for,
no, the kli is going to get damaged.
So that's already that comes with Litzarech Hayom. That needs a special heter. Because that's not called Gufo Shel Kli.
I thought Litzarech Hayom was like the pocket knife that, you know, you can carry everywhere, doesn't matter, as long as at some point in the day maybe you're going to use it.
Maybe you're right. But Litzarech Hayom could be anything. Litzarech Hayom could be according to Tosfos and let's take according to the Rashbash, he has a possibility that even donating a candle to a synagogue might be Litzarech Hayom. Or for example, you have Tosfos Ksuvos who says that giving a gift to someone on Shabbos and making him besimcha, or at least on Yontif, would be Litzarech Hayom.
Wasn't there a major perceptual shift that we made to look at things from the object's perspective, the heter objects, from their perspective, not from our perspective? We made this shift.
I'm not sure what you mean by the shift. Harvey, this is your coffee. We'll heat it up a little bit later. Don't drink it now, it's probably kaltavasa. We'll put ice in it and call it ice coffee. Yeah, David.
Don't worry.
All right, so we're getting the general structure. This is very exciting. Because what's happening is that according to Rava, there were two heterim, stage one and stage two. Stage one was the tzarech gufo shel kli, and that includes both gufo and makomo. Okay, that's called shimush for gufo shel kli. And stage two was the second heter, like the circles around Saturn that we said, and that's even if it's not litzorech shibush, but rather it's a tzorech. You have a need. You know, I'm nervous about my kli. It's getting boiling. It's getting in the sun. I want to move it mechama litzeh. That's kli shemalachto lehet. Then we get to what? Then we get to kli shemalachto leisa. Okay. What's going to be the deal now? Well, in Kli Shemalachta Leisa, there was only one circle around Saturn. And that was what? Litzareth?
Gufo.
Gufo Shel Kli. Right? And Gufo Shel Kli, according to Rava, includes both what? One and two. Gufo and Makoma. There was no heter of Mechama Litzel. So now, am I allowed, according to Rava, listen carefully, to take a Kli Shemalachta Leisa and put it on top of a mess? Or on top of Mukta? The answer is no. Why not? Because that's not shimush begufa shel kli. It may come under litzorech, but there was never a heter with regard to kli shemalach lisa litzorech, meaning litzorech hayom. And therefore, the Magen Avraham is very justified by saying that if you want to move a kli shemalach to a heter to put it on top of the mess, that's okay. Because it's the Tzorech Hayom, and in the case of Kli Shemalach to Leheter, we had that second circle ring around Saturn, and we were Matir Michamal Itzel, which means the Tzorech Hayom. But in the case of a Kli Shemalach to Leisa, where we never had that second round, then there's no way, no how, that you could move it and put it on top of the mess. Now we get to Rava and Abaye, okay? I hope I can erase this, okay? Now, according to Rabba and Abaye, what we have is the following. There are two rings around Kli Shemalach to Leheter. Okay? But what are they? They're the following. One is Shimush Begufo Shel Kli, and two is Litzorech Makomo. There never was a heter of litzarech hayom, correct?
What does that mean?
Okay, you're right. What does that mean? You're right. I made a mistake. Harvey always catches me when I make a mistake. Well, let's just go over this. One second. Okay, one second. Give me a second here. Tzorech Shabbos, that if it's Tzorech Shabbos, Shimush lo beguf. See, now I just realized that there's one piece of the puzzle that we're missing here. Let's just think. So how do we conceptualize the Tzorech Makomo according to Rava and Abaye? Is that the same as Tzorech Hayom? Well, yes and no, because we're not going to allow Michamal Itzel, correct?
Yeah.
Right? Michamal Itzel is out. So let's just think. This gets a little sticky. Am I missing something here, Rabosei? Who can help me out? What we're saying is that there were two stages of a heter in the case of Klishim Lachtel Heter. One was Tashmish Begufo Shel Kli, and then according to Abaye, you needed a special heter for Litzorech Makomo. Why? Because that's not called Tashmish Begufo Shel Kli. So is that the same as Litzorech Hayom? And if it is, why doesn't that include Mechama Litzel? So what we need to understand now, which I'm not sure if we ever understood it, again, this might be my fault and no one else's, what's the difference between Makomo and Mechama Litzel according to Rabba and Abaye? In the case of has to be some sort of a I see. So again, I apologize, but this is another point that we have to add to this whole discussion. I don't know why it's not here in the essay, unless I missed it, and it is here. Are you able to focus with me for a second, Rav Osai? I need your attention. Yes, this is true. Absolutely true. That Litzarach Makom according to Abaye and Rabbah expands the heter to Litzarach Hayom. But here's where Abaye v'Rava have an additional machlokas against Rava. The first machlokas was about Litzarach Makomo, whereas Rava saw Litzarach Makomo as Shimush Begufo Shel Kli. Abaye v'Rava they're not willing to sign on to that. No, Litzarach Makomo is Litzarach Hayom, it's not Litzarach Shimush Kli. That's one machlokas. Now we have another machlokas. How do you define Michamel Itzel? Rava is willing to say that Michamel Itzel is Litzarach Hayom. And Abaye v'Rava never accepted that. They hold, and we saw this once in the Vilna Gaon, if you remember, that Litzarech Chama Litzel is considered Litzarech Machar. It's like for tomorrow. It's for the weekday, not for Shabbos. And therefore, now we get to the crux of the matter. Let's say Abaye wants to move Muktzah. So what does he do? He takes a Kli Shemalachah Leheter and he puts it on top of Muktzah. So we're going to have to say that even though that's not Shemesh Begufa Shel Kli, but nevertheless it's considered Litzarach Hayom, but what kind of Litzarach Hayom? The Litzarach Hayom that's similar to the Litzarach Makom. Now, Yavo Baldin, you know, some potential litigant is going to come forward and he's going to counter argue. He's going to say, no, I insist that moving a Kli Shemalachto Leheter in order to place it on top of Muktzah is like Michamel Itzel. Why do you insist? No, it's like Litzarech Makom. So let's try to see if we can answer that question. Oh, what we're going to say is that just like what's your purpose? Your purpose certainly is not to use the Kli, but your purpose is to save the Mukta, or save the thing. So why isn't that called Chamel Itzel? Oof. I don't have it. Ben, you have it?
Is it possible that we need to demarcate here between Sorach Krova and Sorach Sofit?
Let's think about that. If you're talking about your Sorach Sofit, it's not Litzarach Hayom. But let's say Michamel Itzel. So we're going to have to say the following. That Michamel Itzel has no Tachlit Krova. It only has a Tachlit Sofit. Whereas the case of moving Muktzah, he's going to have some sort of need for the Muktzah. So that's the point we have to clarify. What is exactly his need for the Muktzah? But whatever it is, he needs the Muktzah. And if he needs that Muktzah, then putting the Kli Shemalachah Leheter on top of the Muktzah is considered a Tiltul Litzarach Hayom. He's not using that Kli by moving it, but he needs the Muktzah. Masha'en Kedem Michamel Litzel, he's not interested in this Kli Shemalachah Leheter, which is quasi Muktzah, right? He's interested in sparing it and saving it for long-term use, but now he has no use for it. In the case of Abaye, apparently, he needed that Muktzah right now. Now, I'm a little bit uncomfortable with this because I'm not. Rava did the same shtick and he put it on raw meat. I don't know, what is he going to do with this raw meat on Shabbos? He can't cook it, and there's no such thing as sushi meat.
Feed it to an animal,
maybe. I don't know. But if it's edible to an animal, I don't know if b'chlal why it's muktzah. So right now the Gemara thinks it's muktzah. If it's muktzah, what's he going to do with it? I don't know. It would seem to me that that's also Michamel Itzel. There must be that he had some use for this uncooked meat. Whatever that use was, we have to clarify. Does he point this out here? Let's just go over it one more time. He says, "Yeshom v'domdom." I'm reading the last two lines in the article one more time. He says, "The omdom b'din na'achledaito." According to Abaye, he says, "Itiru shimush shelo begufa lekach hita letaltul tarva litzarch tiltul muktzah." Mishum shetachlis hakrova. Oh, he does mention the tachlis hakrova. He knows he needs to move that mukta right now. It's urgent for him, and that's called the tzar shav. So you have to add another footnote here, which I don't know. He does, for some reason he left it out. That michamel itzel has no tachlis krova. That's what you were saying, Ben, right? More or less.
Suggesting that, I think.
Yeah, no, I'm, it doesn't matter whether you said it or you suggested it. To me, it's all the same. All right. All right, Rabosai. Let's begin a new day with a new article. Okay? We're going back to the basics. At the beginning of this perek, we know that according to the original Gzeira of Kalim of Nechemya ben Chachalia, no Kalim were allowed for Tiltal, except for a very few limited number of Kalim. But then the people of Israel became more careful about, meticulous about the observance of Shabbos, so they loosened the belt here and they allowed four stages of Heterim, and then we have the Machlokas between Abayi and Rava. According to Rabbi Tilta, Lutzar Gufo, Lutzar Makom was one, and it's included in the original Heter. Whereas according to Abaye, these are two different levels, as we discussed at great length now. One is the level of Lutzar Tashmish Begufo, Shel Kli, and the other is Lutzar Chayom. And that was Lutzar Makom. So Abaye needs a special Heter for Lutzar Makom. There never was a Heter Michamel Itzel. Rava holds that since in the original Heter, number one, they were Mater not only Gufo but also Makom, therefore the second Heter was Michamel Itzel. And the Gemara also records a similar machlokas between Rava and Rava, when the Mishnah says Kol HaKelim Nitolim Litzarech V'Shalol Litzarech, according to Rava, Shalol Litzarech means Michamel Itzel, because Litzarech includes both Gufa and Makomo, and Rava holds, like Abai before, that Litzarech means Litzarech Gufo, and now we have a special Heter of Litzarech Makomo, and it was never a Heter Michamel Itzel. Halacha, we passing like Rava, that's the good news for today, that Kli Shemalata Le'isa is Mutal L'Taltalo L'Tzar Gufo Makomo, but a Kli Shemalata Le'et is Mutal even Michama L'Tzel.
With Rava's Pesach, you first have to have a Gufo need before you can enact the Makomo, right?
I'm not sure what you mean. You're talking chronologically, you mean?
Yes. The Kli Shemalata Le'isa. You first have to have some sort of sorik for it, to use it in a secondary capacity before you've got the makomo, right?
Let me see if I can ask a question and tell me if this is your question, baby. Let's say I enter into Shabbos with a hammer, a carpenter's hammer on my desk. I never use this hammer, and I have no intention of using this hammer.
Right.
I just simply want to get it off my desk. Am I allowed to do that?
That's
your question.
Yeah.
Because you're saying that maybe once I was Matil Litzar Gufo and I used the hammer to crack walnuts, then I could put it away after I finish. Conceptually you're right, but intuitively I sense that's not right. I'm not sure why. I just have this intuition.
But your desk, you're going to eat your lunch on your desk or something. I can see why you might be able to.
No. You're saying, David, forget about eating lunch on your desk. Obviously, you're eating lunch on your desk. That's for sure. But you're pointing out something very well, that as far as this hammer is concerned, I never implemented a Heter Litzar Gufo, such that now you can say, all right, within the broader context of Litzar Gufo, we're going to allow you to move it Litzarech Makomo as well. You put it down there, we're going to allow you to take it off. But here you didn't put it down there, it was there from the beginning of Shabbos.
I mean, I'll extend my question to even Kalim Heter.
Okay.
Like, you said we weren't allowed to move Heter Kalim unless there was a Sorech.
Right.
So that would also apply.
Yeah, the same question. The same identical question should apply. No, you see, here's where I disagree with you. In the case of a Kli Shemalachta Heter, where according to Rava, they extended that.
You can't disagree with me, Rav, because I'm saying what you said.
Okay. So I'm disagreeing myself. Yeah, that's also allowed, right? Yeah. You should know that there's a sugya called Kevin Shehigim Shuvan and Choser Magin. The Gemara derives that from Sukkim. That means once you testified, you can't rescind your testimony. So what was the Havamina before that? The Havamina before that was, it's like one aid against another, even though there's only one person speaking. But if he contradicts himself, it's one against one. Anyway, no, but in the case of Klisha Malachta Leheter, so let's say I started my Shabbos with a hammer, a nutcracker on my table. Now I want to eat my dinner, and I want to clear it off. That's okay. Why? Because in the second round, according to Rabbi, they were Matir Michamal Etzel. So once we have Michamal Etzel, we expand the Heter. This is what's called, if you're familiar with the phrase, Yesh Bechlal Masayim Mana, included in 200 is 100, meaning now I don't have to analyze the mechanics of Litzarch Makoma. Well, we let you put it there, we're going to now let you take it back, right? I don't need that anymore because I have Michamal Litzel.
Yeah, but you had the jukes in your head story. You know, okay, you had a need because you wanted to eat your lunch there, so you moved the nutcracker.
Right.
But if you had no need for your desk and you just wanted to move the nutcracker, you'd have a problem, no? That's like...
That would be Shalol Litzarch Klal, if right. That's what you mean, yeah. Right. Yeah, but that's okay. We spent a lot of time on that, and that's good. But now you're asking something else. What happens if my carpenter's hammer is on the desk entering into Shabbos? Intuitively, I would say the following. The development of the heter on a historical, chronological basis was Litzarch Gufo and then Litzarch Makom, if you follow what I mean. But once they were matir, Eklisha Malachta Lisa Litzarch Makomo, I don't have to actually go through the step-by-step process and say, well, what brought that carpenter's hammer to the table to begin with? You know, did you first utilize the heter of Gufo, and now we're going to expand that to include Makomo? Once they had a heter of Litzarch Makomo, what that meant was that whenever you have to move a kli Litzarch Makomo, you're allowed to. That's my intuition. Okay, now Rabosei, we're up to the following. We have a sugya now in Shulchan Aruch. Okay, so I'm going to open up the Shulchan Aruch here to Shin Ches, and we're going to read Sif Gimel and Sif Dalet. Okay then? So I'm going to tell you exactly where it is in my edition. Don, you have the same edition that I have, so that's good. And we're on page 209. Otherwise known as Kuf He. Okay? So we have here Klisha Malachta Le'isur Mutal Taltalo Bein Litzarech Gufo, and then he has Bein Litzarech Makom. Okay? Fine. Then we want to fast forward to page 210. Klisha Malachta Le'heter Mutal Taltalo Afilu Eino Elo Litzarech HaKli Shalo Yishover O Yigone, what we call Michama Litzel. Al shalol etzar klal osur letaltol, and the exception to this rule is kisvei hakodesh v'ochlin. Two exceptions to the rule, and they're mutal letaltol mafil shalol etzar klal. Okay. Now comes along the Beis Yosef, which you'll see here on the right column. Okay, and you're back in your essay. And this is the next to last paragraph on the right column. And he bases himself on the Rambam and on the interpretation of the Rambam of the Magid Mishnah. The Rambam starts with Yesh Kli Shemalachta Leheter, and then he says Yesh Kli Shemalachta Leiser, and then he says Kol Kli Shemalachta Leheter Mutal Taltalo B'Shavis Bein. I'm sorry, you know what? I'm on the wrong page. I apologize. What page are we on? We're on 267, right? Okay, so I just had to have so many pages here. Okay. So fine. So now we're on to the beginning of page 267, and we'll start again from the top. And we have the machlokas between Rava and Rabba and Abai. Okay. Now, Rava says that according to Rabbi Nechemiah, a klisha malachta leheter eino nital el litzorech El Tzorech Tashmisho, which according to Rashi means Tashmisho Miyuchad Lo, and according to Rabbeinu Tam means any Tashmisho Ragil Lo. And now we have a machlokes according to Rav Nechemya. Within Rav Nechemya, we now have a machlokes between Rabba and Rav. The Rabba, and for that matter Abaye, Rav Nechemya would hold you're only allowed to move a kli litzar gufa because you need tashmish hamiyuchad. So by definition, it's got to be litzar gufa. Rava says that according to Rav Nechemya, it's not just litzar gufa, but it's also litzarech makoma. Again, the Gemara is going to ask, according to Rabba, I'll leave it to Rav Nechemya. What do we do with karos? I just finished eating. Do I have to leave my plates on the table? Amalei Rav Safra midi havi agraf shel re'i. So according to Rabba, the only heter to take Rabba in Rav Nechemya, the only heter to take off the after kalim off the table is because of graf shel re'i. Now, according to Rava holds that you're allowed to move the kli because it's litzarek gufa. I'm sorry, litzarek makoma. Because Rava's shita was that included in litzarek gufa is also litzarek makoma. Now we're up to the Rajpa. So this is your third paragraph. Ah, do you see it? Okay. The Rajpa says the following. What happens after you pick up this kli in order to clear it off the table? Where do you put it down? Again, the only reason we allowed you to pick up the kli is to clear off the table. There's no other reason that we have here. So therefore, says the Rashba, one could ostensibly argue, he's going to reject this, that Shom Tov Miyado immediately has to drop it. As soon as he takes it off the table, he has to just drop it at his first opportunity. I mean, I don't think he has to smash it on the ground to a million pieces. So the Rashba says, no. Once he was metalta litzorch makomo, is me nicho be eze makom shiyirtza. Can you underline those words? Meinicho b'eze makom shiyirtz. Once he puts it down, he can no longer move it. Unless again he needs litzarek makom. Oh. He says, if you don't accept my premise, says the Rashba, I'll prove it to you. He says, then according to Rava, according to Rava within Rav Nechemya, that you're allowed to move a kli litzarech makomo, but not mechama litzel, is then, why didn't the Gemara ask the same question? What are you going to do with the kalim? Right, the Gemara asked this question according to Rabba. According to Rabba and Rav Nechemya, there's no heter litzarech makomo. So what are you going to do with the karos after you finish eating? But the same question, says the Rashba, the Gemara could raise that objection against Rava, because according to Rava, that Rav Nechemya would allow you to move a kli litzarech makomo, but not michama litzel. So then the case of removing the karos is, why don't we say that as soon as you take it off the table, you should throw it down immediately? And that question the Gemara never raised. Elamuchach, okay, you want to underline those words. Elamuchach, shekeva shemuto letaltel, letzarch makomo yitlenevi anichenu heichon sheyirtze. And then the Rashba adds, v'chein muchach beper kira gabi notel kli lekabel bo hanitzotzos. Okay, we don't know what that means, but we'll see that in the next paragraph. But let's just take a minute and try to summarize and perhaps analyze what the Rashba is saying. According to the Gemara says that according to Rabba, in the framework of Rav Nechemya, we have a problem. Because since according to Rabba, Rav Nechemya never allowed Litzarech Makoma, what are we going to do with these karos? How are we allowed to pick them up? So the Rashba wants to know, I have a more basic question. Just in general, when you have the heter of Litzarech Makomo, what are we telling you? That as soon as you pick it up, you got to drop it? For example, let's take the case of Klisha Malachto Le'isur. There's no heter in Chamal Itzel. That means in Klisha Malachal Yisa, the only heter is because you have to free up the space. No, as soon as you freed up the space, there's no longer a heter to be metaltal this Klisha Malachal Yisa. Why didn't the Gemara raise that question? Does it mean that every time I move a Klisha Malachal Yisa Litzok Makoma, I have to drop it? First opportunity I have, like a hot potato? And the answer is no, because once you pick it up, you're allowed to put it down wherever you want. But the question that the Gemara had raised, the objection the Gemara had raised, is that according to Rabbi Nechemiah, at least according to Rabbah, we never should have allowed him to pick it up to begin with. But don't ask me the question, well, once we allow you to pick it up, Litzok Makomo, we're going to have to force you to put it down immediately because you've already achieved your goal of Litzok Makomo. And he has a proof from a Gemara in Kira. The Gemara has the Rabbi Yitzchak's principle of Ein Kli Nitol Litzorach Dovra Nitol. And therefore, if you want to take a bowl and use it to cover up a mukta, Beitza Shenolda, you're not allowed to do so. So the Gemara brings a whole bunch of Mishnayos against this principle of Rabbi Yitzchak, that you're allowed to be metaltel a kli in order to save mukta. So the Gemara answers, he was only allowed to pick up the kli because it was the Tzarech Makoma. And once he's allowed to pick up this kli because he needs the makom, then he's allowed to use it to save the egg, to protect the egg. So you see clearly, says the Rashba, that once you're allowed to pick it up, Litzarech Makomo, we don't force you to put it down immediately like a hot potato, drop it on the spot, but you can put it down wherever you want. And in this case, you can put it down to cover the egg and save the egg. Even though normally we would say Ein Kli Nitol Litzarech Kli Avuter, but here you have it in your hands already, and once it's in your hands, you can put it down wherever you want. That was the Rashba's proof. And the Ritva and the Ran also agreed to the Rashba, and it would seem to be the sheet of Tosus and Beitza, because Tosus and Beitza quotes a Gemara in Shabbos to prove that once it's in your hands, you can put it down wherever you want. And now we can see it in the Shulchan Aruch. Let's see where we can find this in the Shulchan Aruch. He says to take a look in Siman Shin Gimel. What's in Siman Shin Gimel?
Shin Chet Gimel.
Ah, it should be Shin Chet Gimel, probably. Okay, that makes more sense. Well, let's see if we can find it. You see it there, Shmuel? You have a Shulchan Aruch?
Klisha Melachto Yisur Mitar L'Tel Telo Ben L'Tzor Gufo.
Right, Ben L'Tzor Makomo. Oh, there it is. Shkoy. Umutalo litol misham ulanicho bi'ezem makom sheyirtze.
What page?
So this is on page 209 again. And we're counting down from the top of the page, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 lines down from the top of the page, towards the end of that line. Umutalo litol misham ulanicho bi'ezem makom sheyirtze. Okay, and this he quotes in the name of the Magid Mishnah. But let's just see if the Mishnah Berurah adds anything here. If you're in that class, so Yud Gimel, Lanicha Be'ezem Makom. Kevinch, you see it, the third of the wide lines, Mishnah Berurah Yud Gimel. He says Kevinch Ubiyado Shenetala Letzar Gufa Makomo. And we're talking about a Klisha Malachta Le'isur now. Is Rashai Letaltel Yosef. And now he quotes the Magen Avraham. So we can look at the Magen Avraham in one of two places, either in our article on the left column or here in the Mishnah Berurah. So let's start with the Mishnah Berurah, since we have that open. Because the Magen Avraham, Duha Dinim Shachak, and it told the other Rashai Letaltel Yosef. Here's a case where he had no right halachically to move the Kli, but he forgot, and inadvertently he moved the Kli. Now he has the Kli in his hands. He doesn't have to drop it immediately. He can place it down wherever he likes. Afshan Atila, when he picked it up, Lohaya litzarek gufo or litzarek makomo, and that's what the Magen Avraham says.
What is shogeg? He just picked up something by accident.
He picked up muktzah by accident. So you have muktzah in your hands, or at least you know what. Maybe I shouldn't go too far. He doesn't use the word muktzah here. We're talking about a klishim lachtali, so we'll have to see if the same thing applies to muktzah. That's going to be a big issue. So right now, let's not jump the gun. We're talking about, that's what he's talking about, he's addressing the case of a klishim lachtali. So he accidentally picked up this hammer, this carpenter's hammer, put it down wherever you want. Oh, here's your question, or my question, our question. Muktzah, what about muktzah? I picked up muktzah by mistake. He says, the ayin b'achronim, okay, in the bottom he tells you that this is the chayado, the Eben ha'ozer, derech ha'chayim, v'shar achronim, shechriyu d'haya teru lo shaykh elu b'klisha malachta le'isa, v'lo b'mukta machmas gufo, k'go mos v'avonim, and we could add kayotzim and eitzim. And now he's about to quote the Vilna Gaon. So let's go back to our paragraph here. He says, "V'omer Hamagen Avraham Sham Nira Li Dafilu Shachach V'Notla B'Yado is Rashoi L'Taltalo Yosef." Okay, then this is all before the Vilna Gaon. V'Ayin Mashikasav. New b'simon reish samach vav. Okay, it's a little bit erased here. The shomavur v'ramor shemisha shochach kiso olav b'shabbes imu b'beiso yochol lelech imo lecheder lahatil chagoro v'yipol sham v'yatznienu. Okay. So again, what's clear from the Rashba and all the other Rishonim that agree with the Rashba is that if you picked up a klisha malachta leheter, let's start with a klisha malachta leisur, letzarek gufo, letzarek makomo, you're allowed to put it down wherever you like. The Magen Avraham adds to what we saw in the Rishonim and the Rashba that even if you weren't allowed to pick it up to begin with, it wasn't a case of letzarek gufo, letzarek makomo, but you accidentally picked it up, it's in your hand, put it down wherever you want. But the Achronim point out that that heter does not apply in the case of muktz. He says, "Omnam mevuar bedin." Okay, now here he's quoting the Aguda. Okay, Makoro b'Aguda b'Beitza in the previous paragraph. The Aguda was one of the late Rishonim. And Beis Chidushin. He says the Rashba and those who agreed with the Rashba already proved that in a case of klisha malachtal isur, once you momentalto tzarkufo tzarmakomo, is then you can put it wherever you want. The Aguda is talking about a case of tiltal be isur, correct? You had no right to be metaltal it. Then he writes v'chein. Betiltal mukta machmas gufa v'logak beklisha malachta le'isa. Now I'm not sure exactly what it says in the Aguda, but the Ramah seems to base himself on the Aguda, and he paskins that if you forgot a wallet in your pocket, you're allowed to go back into your house, again assuming there's no problem with hotzah, you're allowed to take it back into your house. They used to wear I think even now it's popular, these belts, you know, that have a wallet in it, and he's allowed to undo his belt and let the wallet fall on the ground. But now we're talking about muktzah machmas gufo, because a wallet has mos in it. We're not talking about a klisha malachta le'isa. So we have two chidushim in the Aguda. Number one, even if the tchilas atilta was be'isur, we're still going to allow you to take it wherever you want. And number two, even if what you metalta was muktzah mamish, mamish gufo, still you're allowed to put it down once you picked it up. And now we're back to the Mishnah Berurah. in the name of the Gaon. Beber Agra, Cholik al Magen Avram, Usvirole, Delo Itiru El Shehiskil Letaltel Bereshus. If you picked it up and you were allowed to, like the case of Klishim Lachtalis Sok Gufet Sok Makomo, then put it down wherever you like. So that's what he writes here. B'mishnah Burasham, Hevi Mibir Agrosh, Apligi Aguda V'Rama, V'Savar, the Gaon holds, Ein Heter L'Hamshich, Ela B'Hischil B'Heter. You know what this reminds me of, but again, heaven forbid to equate them, but it just by sheer association. Let's say you started to eat a meal before daybreak. And now the law is that with daybreak you're not allowed to eat. You have to daven first. Or let's say before a mitzvah like Kriyas HaMegillah, you have to stop eating. But since you started beheter, we might allow you to continue. I'll give you another example. You're not allowed to be koveh sud on Erev Pesach after a certain hour, whatever that hour is, the ninth hour, whatever it might be. So what happens if he started his meal before the ninth hour? So the Gemara seems to assume in the last Perek of Pesachim that you're allowed to continue your meal. So the Gaon says that this whole heter, that once it's in your hand, put it down wherever you like, that only applies when you started this tiltu beheter. But if you started the tiltu beisur, then terminate as soon as possible. So let's just think, according to the Gaon, the whole heter of once it's in your hand, you're allowed to put it wherever you want, only applies in the case of Klishim Lachtal Iser, where you picked it up Litzar Guf Litzar Makom. So I have this hammer, and I'm using it now to crack my walnuts, and I can now put it down wherever I like. Why? Because the Tchilas HaTiltul was Behet. See, Rabbos say the Magen Avraham makes a lot more sense to me. Because Why are we saying that once he picked up the Klishim Lachtalis Tzal Kuf Tzal Kuf, he can take it with him whatever he wants? The reason for that is because it's already in your hand. Now, if it's already in your hand, that's not called tiltul. Tiltul means taking it up in your hand. So the Magen Avraham says, what difference does it make whether it's Klishim Lachtal Isil Tzarat Kuf Tzal Kuf, or whether it's Muksa that you accidentally picked up in your hand? Once it's in your hand, carrying it from place to place until you decide where you want to put it down, that's not called tilting. The Gaon, on the other hand, is very difficult, because the Gaon is going to say, yeah, if there was a head there when you picked it up, then put it down wherever you want. But if you had no right to pick it up, you got to drop it, you know, at your first earliest convenience. But why? I mean, if the whole Yisod is once it's in your hand, that's not called tilting. Tilting doesn't mean moving, tilting means picking it up. So that logic should apply even in the case of Muktzah Mamish, or even in a case where you violated some sort of an Issa, but you did it b'shogeg. Now I begin to understand it. Okay, what the Gaon is saying is that there are two gedarim of Issa Tilta. There's Muktzah and there's Klishim Lachtal Issa. Never the Troy Chalmi. In the case of Tiltul Kalim, which again is what as we said a million times, the vestige of Nehemiah's Gzeirah, there the Iser Tiltul is taking it into your hands. But in the case of Muktzah, the Iser is moving the Muktzah. Because every second you're moving the Muktzah, you're moving Muktzah. Meaning, it's not an Iser Tiltul. It's an Iser to use Muktzah in any shape or form.
Picking up Muktzah is also forbidden.
But again, it's not because of Tiltul.
Okay.
In other words, you're right. In that case, you know, we're isolating or pinpointing Tiltul, but in the broad framework of Muktzah, Tiltul is just one of many, many examples. You know, you wouldn't be allowed to sit on the Muktzah and enjoy the benefit of Muktzah. Okay, the trouble is that we have to know if he designated it before Shabbos. But let's assume Mukta Mamash, he didn't designate it before Shabbos for yeshiva. So he's got Eitzim, he wants to sit on the Eitzim, he's not allowed to do that. See, the question is going to be an automobile. Is an automobile a Klisha Malakta L'Isa or is it Mukta? I would say it's a Klisha Malakta L'Isa. And therefore you can lean on a car on Shabbos, because that's the Tzorek Gufo. But if you have, let's say, stones and you didn't designate them for yeshiva, that's already Mukta Machmas Gufo, you can't sit on them. Tiltel is just one example of many different prohibitions that apply to Mukta. We said many times that Mukta is an Isa Chefta. So moving the Mukta from place to place, yeah, but wait a minute, let's ask the Gaon a different question. What happens if I picked up a Klisha Malachta L'Isur, not L'Tzark Gufo, L'Tzark Makom? I forgot, or whatever it might be. What would the Gaon say then? Let's just see it again. He says, Ubebir Agra, Cholik Al-Magadvam, Usvir Le'Tloitiru, Elke Shehischil, Le'Taltel, Birashus. Ah, so he's talking about a case of klisha malachta l'isur. Ah, so that's not good. So again, klisha malachta l'isur. So the Magen Avraham said that what? That either if he picked it up for the sake of gufa makoma, or he shachach and told the other rashi l'taltel yoser. But not in the case of mukta. And the Gra argues that if he had no right to pick up the klisha malachta l'isur, then he has to put it down immediately. Well, let's see what he says over here. V'raya v'masha omu v'sof perek beis de Shabbos. Just let me know if you have the place. We're on the left column. And I guess you'd call it paragraph number 3, maybe, which starts with the Mishnah Berurah.
The bigger one.
Yeah, so the biggest paragraph. And if you take a look at line 3, he quotes a Gemara at the end of the second paragraph of Shabbos on Lamed Hamid Beis. And the Gemara says that they allowed the Chazon of the Beis HaKnesses to blow the Tkios of Erev Shabbos. But what does he do after he finishes the last Tkia? At that point it's Shabbos. Is then meniach es shofaro b'rosh b'makom tzanua b'rosh gago. You remember this? That they had a place on top of the roof where he could hide the shofar. V'lo madnu shebiara hagimava shebraisezu olzas bedas from the chemish shofar mukta machmas gufo shagri mutal taltalo L'talto kli rak l'tzork dover ha-miyucha lo b'shofar shimusha yikari u'litko bo v'imkein osu l'talto lo v'imkein ha-shofar v'imukzo machmas gufo. Okay, we have to understand why, but according to Rav Nechemia, the shofar is called mukzo machmas gufo. And that means that since tashmish ha-miyucha lo is an iser, you're not allowed to blow music on Shabbos, therefore it becomes Mukta Machmas Gufo. So what do we see from this? That even though he had every right in the world to pick up the shofar, he had to blow the shofar, but nevertheless he's not allowed to continuously walk around with the shofar and go home with the shofar and put it back in his house. He's got to put it back on the gag. She'eino yochel lahamshich u'taltel es ha-shofar. Ah, Mishum Sha'iri Behiskel Be'isa. Now, why is that called Hiskel Be'isa? He started blowing the shofar on Erev Shabbos. Afshe Hiskel Be'erev Shabbos, Shu'umutu Mikomakon Choshiv Tiltol Osur, Sheri Miyad Kshenichnas HaShabbos, Osur Be'Tiltol HaShofar. So this is a great kash against the Magen Avraham. The Magen Avraham says that even if you began Be'isur, you're allowed to put it wherever you want. And here, the Mishnah is telling me, no, that you have to put it immediately Barosh Gago.
But it's Moksha, right?
Oh, so I think what he's saying is that according to Rabbi Nechemia, it's Mukta, but according to us, We don't need Tashma Shama Yuchad Lo, and therefore this is a classical case of a Kli Shemalachta Le'isa. Because what's the primary function of a shofar? Right. Is to make music. So that you can't do on Shabbos. That's a Kli Shemalachta Le'isa. Why are we forcing him to put it down immediately? It's already in his hand. Now on the bottom he says that the Gaon has another proof for this. From a Tosefta at the end of Sukkah, Mashleches Isha Hapsila B'Kabbalah Shabbos. So what happens? She's lighting Shabbos candles. And she lights it with a match. So as soon as she lights it with that match, she's Mekabel Shabbos. Now she has a match in her hand, not a lit match. And the halacha is, according to Tosefta, Tashlich es hapsila. She has to just drop it. Sharei kvar kibla Shabbos. It says the Gaon, Mevuar, Shekeban Shehiskel Be'isur, Osu Lahamshich Ulitalta. And why does Tosefta require that she just drop the match immediately, even though she was perfectly, it was perfectly legitimate for her to pick up the match? But now it's Asur, and she's gotta drop it. So again, just to summarize, the Gaon has two proofs against the Magen Avraham that if you picked it up at Isur, you have to put it down immediately. You can't just say like the Magen Avraham that once it's in my hand I can put it down wherever I want. And his first proof is from the fact that the Chazan HaKnesses has to put the shofar down immediately. Barosh Gago, Barosh God. And the second proof is from the fact that Tosefta requires that she, when she lights the candles, immediately drops the psila. She can't say, well, let me put the psila down wherever I want because I picked it up ahead. So Rav Moshe, we'll stop here. And what I would ask you to do, Ben, if you don't mind, either today or tomorrow, whenever you get a chance, is to photocopy the last page of this essay that we've begun. That's page 268. I'll give that to you in the Beis Medrash.
Okay.
You know, the lady was cleaning up here, so I moved all my stuff over there. I'll give that to you.